Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. We'll pick up there. Look, we'll go to verse number 12. Dear brothers, I'm still not all that I should be, but I'm bringing all of my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting about the past. Does anybody remember what I said last Sunday about the past? One of the greatest hindrances toward wealth building or in wealth building is what? The past. And what we meant by that was that if you hold on to the way your mother and father handled money, mistakes that you've made in the past, I did not finish my degree, blah, 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 a whole host of excuses that you and I could use, the past could hinder you from building on the future. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
So we don't want to get stuck on anything that we've done in the past, anything that's happened in the past, what we failed to remember in the past. We want to keep it moving. Look at your neighbor and say, keep it moving. All right. And so we want to keep things going, keep things moving. During this class, Becoming a Millionaire God's Way, you have a clean slate. So no matter how you handled money in the past or what you've done in the past, you have a clean slate. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, you have a clean slate. Okay. Now, I like Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting the past. The Today English version says this: of course, my brothers, I really do not think that I've already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and to do my best to reach what is ahead. Now, I like the Today English version because I'm asking you, as we go through this together, I'm asking you to do your best. Everybody say, do my best.
Do my best.
I'm asking you to do your best because my experience has taught me that when it comes to certain areas, finances, certain areas of human development, there's a lot of times that people will not do their best and make excuses for not doing their best, or to be under the delusional thought that I'm doing my best, and they're not really giving God even 50% of what they know they should be doing. Can I get an amen to this?
Yeah.
So we're going to be encouraging you to do your best, all right? And I love that transliteration and what it says. So the goal here is for you to do your best, to put your best foot forward. Now, write down Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Now, what we're doing in our first several beginning sessions is that we are working on your mindset. Because I may have individuals sitting in here right now that you don't believe it's God's will for you to become a millionaire or a thousandaire or a hundredaire. And so we've got to get in and start working on your mindset, because you need to see yourself doing what God has designed you to do. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, we talk a lot about vision around here and things. And so last Sunday, you should have received your What I'm Believing God For in 2017 card. Amen. And so today and the next several Sundays, the last Sunday, we'll be praying over that, you know, as we get into the new year. But Alex Riera is going to be encouraging you that if you have not filled out your 2017 What I'm Believing God For card, today is a day to fill that out. Today is a day to get something written down. Why? Because vision is important. Billy Joe was talking about his testimony a few years ago. He pulled out his What I'm Believing For card, and he didn't do anything with it, didn't write anything on it. And so he made a commitment that he would do his best. Say it. Do my best. Say it.
Do my best.
That he would write on that card. And so he told his mother, I filled my card out and I put it on my refrigerator, and I'd look at it every time I'd go in and out of the kitchen, whatever, whatever. Well, lo and behold, by the end of the year, everything that I had written down, come on, y'all, hallelujah, everything had come to pass and had materialized in my life just the way I thought about it or dreamed about it or whatever the case might be. So your vision is very important. We were talking at our men's breakfast on yesterday, what would you do if you were debt-free? What would you do if your money was clear? What would you do? And da 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 da. Marvin said, I'm going to Hawaii, Miss Carolyn. Hello. And then others said that I would invest, and others said I would save, and on and on and on. So where there is, the word here says, where there is no vision, the people what? The people perish. And so we want to lead you into some things to encourage you to write, to encourage you to dream. And really on your 2017, I don't care how outrageous what you're thinking about might be, write it down.
Amen.
You know, I thought about it the other day. I said, I have not put on that card to pay my mortgage off in full. So I'm putting my mortgage paid in full.
Amen.
Can I get another amen? Can I get a little help? You guys look like you don't want to help me this morning. But listen, a vision is being able to see what is possible. A vision is being able to see what is possible, and it begins by you writing it down. Your car being paid in full, moving out of your rental place and moving into your own place that you are purchasing.
Amen.
That you are purchasing your own equitable, as we said last week, your own equitable investment, something that you're pouring into, that you're buying, you know, at the end of it, if you were to sell it, then you could walk away with some equity or with some money in your hands. So these are things that you need to think about and dream about. And, you know, when I was a little boy, you may have heard me say, we used to play a game called That's My Car. And when the car would go by, you would holler, if you liked it, you'd holler, that's my car. Am I the only one that played the game?
No.
All right. And so we would play that game, my cousins and I, and I was hollering, that's my car. And he'd holler, no, that's my car. And on and on and on. But a vision is being able to see the possibilities unhindered by the past. It's the ability to look past the obvious and to see the opportunity. And so we want to help to bring you there. Some of the richest men in America started out with nothing. John Rockefeller, J.C. Penney, we talked about last week, Warworth, R.G. Letourneau. They all got a vision from God, and they left their past behind. You need to get a grip. Friend of ours, Beth and Jeff Jones in Kalamazoo, Michigan, started a Getting a Grip on the Basics series. And I read, I have some of her original manuscripts from those books. She's a publisher, writer, now author, just does a wonder. Getting a Grip on the Basics, Getting a Grip on Healing. She did one called Getting a Grip on Prosperity, Getting a Grip on Your Brain. Amen. You remember that commercial, This Is Your Brain, and the man put the egg in the skillet, and he said, this is your brain on drugs. This is, you know, so we need to get a grip, not on your finances, but on your thinking. Get a grip, not on your finances, but get a grip on your thinking. Any steps that you're going to be taking toward wealth building, you're going to have to think differently. In fact, write this down in your notes. You should be thinking right now. If you are not, you should be thinking home ownership. Home ownership. Still one of the best investments that you can make is real estate. It's going to, even if it goes down, it's going to come back around again. You should be thinking home ownership. My wife and I are working with a young lady right now. We helped to sell her home. We sold her old home, sold her a new home, and now we're in the process of selling her two investment homes. She called the other day and said, Miss Teresa, I'm ready to buy another investment property. So you need to be thinking this way. On and on and on. Because I believe that's a great mindset for you and I to have. So look at somebody and say, I'm changing my thinking. From the inside out. One day a man walked into a little Chinese tattoo shop, and he happened to notice a customer in the middle of having Born to Lose tattooed on his arm. Curiously, he waited until the operation was completed and the man left. Seeking out the owner of the shop, he asked the man, why would anyone ever get Born to Lose tattooed on their arm? And the Chinese man looked up at the man and said, tattoo on heart before on arm. So how we think and the way we think is very, very important. I read this statistic the other day. The born to lose tattoo is chosen 7 times more than the born to win tattoo of those that are found in prison. Seeing that every day will absolutely increase the probabilities that you are going to probably lose in life. People choose that tattoo. You wouldn't think that would be so, but they choose the born to lose tattoo 7 times more than the born to win tattoo. If you're going to get a tattoo, get a born to win tattoo. Isaiah, if you're going to get a tattoo, get a born to win tattoo. You're not going to get a tattoo. All right. Okay. He's like, I can't get a tattoo, Pastor. Praise the Lord. All right. Very, very important. Write down Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. Remember, Jesus talked to him, and this is one of my favorite verses, but I like, again, the New English Version says, "You snakes, how can you say good things when you're full of evil? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So that's why you got to get all that good stuff in your heart, and we're encouraging you to get a lot of good stuff in your heart. I love the story about Jacob. He was being cheated and deceived by Laban. And in the end, his latter end had increased. You guys know he went down there. He fell in love with that girl, Laban's daughter, and Rachel. Everybody say Rachel. Fell in love with that girl. And the Bible says she was fine. That's the Billy Joel Watch translation. But it does say that she was shapely and good of form. That means she was fine. Amen. And so he'd fallen in love with Rachel, and Laban had him working for that girl. And then, you know, and he went in. When they went in, when he finally worked, you guys know the rest of the story. They went in, consummate the marriage, on and on and on. He woke up in the morning, and it was the wrong one. Amen. It was the other daughter. Yeah. The ugly one. Come on, y'all. All right, the older one. Traditionally, she had to be married first, and so Laban knew that, and so he snuck her in the back door and on, and you know the rest of the story. So Jacob was being cheated. He was being deceived and robbed of his wages, and on and on and on. But the Bible in Genesis chapter 30, verse number 43, says something very, very important. That's why I want you to write it down. Genesis chapter 30, verse number 43. And even though Laban had come through all of that, even though he had a past, even though there were mistakes made, even though he had been deceived, the Bible says something here that thus the man increased and became exceedingly rich and had many sheep and goats and maidservants and men servant, camels and donkeys. So I threw that in because I wanted you to know that no matter what you've come through, in the end, you were still born to win. Born to win. All right. So you got to remember that going through the process. Sooner or later, a person's attitude will erupt in action. Sooner or later, a person's attitude will erupt in action. In other words, you can suppress it, you can hold it back, but eventually your attitude is going to come out. Because an attitude is never satisfied until it is expressed. And that's why you and I must have the right attitude. We must have the right attitude about the future. We must have the right attitude about wealth building. We must have the right attitude about your future and what your future looks like. Look at your neighbor and say, your future is bright. All right. So we need to remember that. It needs to be expressed. It's not happy until it is expressed. Praise the Lord. Matthew 19. Look at verse number 20. You know the story about the rich young man that came to Jesus and said, man, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? That's the context and the backdrop and the story that's going on here. He says, the young man said, I've observed all of these from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus answered him and said, if you would be perfect, that is, have the spiritual maturity which accompanies self-sacrificing character, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven, and come and be my disciples and side with my party and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, grieved, and in much distress. I know people that are just like that every month when they look at their checkbook. They are sad. They are distressed. They are grieved. Come on now. Amen. Because there isn't enough check to cover the month. Amen. I'm going to raise both hands and a leg. I've been there. Hello. Not enough check to cover the month. So he went away grieved and in much distress, for he had, here's what it says in verse 22, for he had great possessions. How many of you know that is not the truth? And I need to say this because we're still working, Brenda, on mindset. It wasn't that he had great possessions. Great possessions had him.
Yeah.
Great possessions had him. And even though we're talking about wealth building, becoming a millionaire God's way, on and on and on, we don't want you to become a millionaire and leave God behind.
Amen.
Somebody said, Pastor Billy Joe, that's impossible. I would never do that. Yes, you would. And you can tell the acid test of whether or not you would become rich and leave God behind. I can give you the surest way to figure out which category you fall in. As somebody say, how, Pastor Billy Joe? Say, how, Pastor Billy Joe?
How, Pastor Billy Joe?
Look in your checkbook and check your tithe and offering, and that tells me whether or not you would become rich and leave God behind.
Amen.
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 Everybody got real quiet right there. Praise the Lord. Because if you will cheat God on a little,
well,
guess what? Say it. Everybody say it. You'll cheat him on a lot. Jesus said it in Luke. That's the way this works. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the master. The man that is faithful in a little is faithful in much. Your problem is not much. Your challenge could be to be faithful in what you have right now. That's what qualifies you for more.
Amen.
Can we try this? Can everybody just give me one amen?
Amen.
Okay, and if I don't get any more, I'll be fine. Because some of you look serious this morning. Praise the Lord. So that's what Jesus said. So it wasn't that the man had great possessions. Great possessions had him. The author of our book that we're teaching from, Becoming a Millionaire God's Way by Thomas C. Anderson, he had 115 millionaires that he had trained up and raised up right out of his own church. So it can happen. Look at somebody and say, it can happen.
It can happen.
Because it's already happened. But he said he had to go back in and change his teaching because out of the 115 million heirs, most of them became rich and stopped coming to church.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I have to throw this in the teaching about you being faithful over a little. That's what qualifies you for much, because the temptation of every entrepreneur, of every millionaire, of every individual with great resources, the greatest temptation is to believe that you were the one smart enough to make all that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Look at somebody and say, you're not that smart. Okay. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in a vision. Jesus walked into his room, just like you guys saw me walk in. When you walked in, y'all were tapping your watches and making note that I was right up to the 5-minute mercy window. He walked into Brother Hagin's room and he said to Brother Hagin in the process, I'm going to talk to you about your finances. And he began to talk to Brother Hagin about his finances, yada, yada, yada. And then some of those visions, open visions where Jesus walks into the room or appears, or Brother Hagin is kneeling on the platform and he looks up and Jesus is standing like 3 feet in front of him. Come on, y'all. Amen.
Amen.
He said, seems like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And Jesus began to talk to him. And he made this statement, I am not opposed. This is Jesus talking to him. I am not opposed to my people being rich. Isn't it nice to know that Jesus is not opposed to you being rich?
Amen.
All right. He said, I'm not opposed to my people being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. In other words, being greedy to get money. Filthy lucre, the Bible calls it. Getting money, doing anything to get money, and doing things that are questionable to have it. So in other words, along with this pursuit of wealth and riches and this and that, and you believe you're supposed to break through to another level, you must carry along with you, and write this down because I think this is worth writing down, praise the Lord. You must carry along with you good character. Be a man and a woman of integrity. Be a man and a woman that's honest. Be a man and a woman. You have great riches, but you don't let great riches have you. Amen. You and I must believe that we can. We must believe that all things with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Your background doesn't matter. That's Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at the man intently and said, without God, it's utterly impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So we need to get in you the possibilities that exist, because we believe that God wants these things to materialize in your life. I'm not opposed to my people being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, Luke chapter 1 is the story about Mary and Joseph. And you know, the angel came around and said, hey, girl, how you doing? What's up? And she said, hey, how you doing? And they were talking, having this conversation, said, you know, you're going to become pregnant, and what you're going to have inside you, that's going to be the Holy Ghost on you. And you should call his name Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And da 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 da. And Mary looks up and says, whoo, Lord, how can that be? Seeing I've never been to meet a man, and I'm not married yet, and on and on and on. And so you know the rest of the story. And when she says, how can that be? The angel says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You have to take God along for this wealth ride. God wants to be your partner in the front seat. Jesus wants to ride shotgun where your finances and your wealth and your future are concerned. Come on, give me an amen now. Amen. You heard me last week talk about J.C. Penney, and when he looked back and figured out how much money they can, Mr. J.C., we've got a category over here called the tithe. He said, no, that's tithe. And they said, well, we don't know what the tithe or the tithe is, but we're losing a lot of money. And he goes back and looks at his tithe and says, man, we're donating a lot of money. So he cut back and the business started going down. And so he quickly learned, I better cut back in and start sowing. And the business went back up again. For every promise of God, another translation says, shall come true. Another translation says, verse number 37 of Luke 1, for there is nothing that God cannot do. He is not waiting. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that was weak. He's waiting on us. Let me read it to you out of the Message Bible. When you become pregnant and give birth to a son, call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. The angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, the Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son in her old age? Everyone called her barren, and she is 6 months pregnant now. Nothing you see is impossible with God. So write down something outrageous. What is it that you're believing God for? Debt free, this, that, and the other. Da da da. Take a trip. Da da da. Ba ba ba. Become an investor. Whatever. Nothing you see shall be impossible with God. How much can you see, though? How much do you see? When I was growing up as a kid, it was real tough. Many days on the school bus driving back into my neighborhood. Because the thought was, you're never going to leave here. Because I watched a whole lot of people stay and settle in to El Segundo. And they weren't planning on doing anything else or going anywhere else. But I had dreams inside of me. So on the school bus driving back home into the neighborhood, I dreamed that I was driving, I was riding back into somewhere else. Amen.
Amen.
Come on now. Amen. Amen. My wife grew up around Third Ward and Fifth Ward in Houston, Texas. And the thought was, are girls getting pregnant and this and that and all this stuff is going on and no condemnation of anybody. But her dream was, I want to leave here and do something else with my life. Come on now. Amen. Yeah. So you got to have a dream. I was watching a number of years ago, Richard Gere. Is that him? I don't know a lot of those people. Is it Richard Gere who was in Pretty Woman with Sandra?
No.
Julia Roberts. At the end of the movie ends with the man that's walking down the street like this. And he says, what's your dream? I got a dream. He's walking down the street talking about what's your dream. Well, what's your dream today? Let me ask you this question. Are you even dreaming? Because some people have stopped dreaming. Mm-hmm. They've kind of settled into the way things are. Come on, give me an amen.
Amen.
There was a lady that was on welfare, was raising three kids alone by herself. And she had given up on her dream. Said, I'm done. I'm out. They send me a check every month. I'm comfortable. I'm good. I'm going to raise these kids. And that's it. But she knew there was something else inside of her. And she got a dream. And I won't go into the details. But ultimately opened up three Häagen-Dazs stores. You guys know what Häagen-Dazs is? I know you know. Three Häagen-Dazs stores. And was able to come off of welfare fair and go into business for herself. So the key is that you cannot stop dreaming. Come on, amen.
Amen.
Our daughter Brittany called the other day, and I want to thank personally all of you guys online that have voted for her. She is up to become the amateur, breakout amateur, and then the first category, and the second category is called Amateur Competitor of the Year. And the reason why she's in the, it sounds like she's under, in the amateur category is because these things went out before she got her pro card, and they're calling her the breakout amateur and the amateur of the year and on and on and on, and she's now a pro. And so she called me the other day. She's a little bit distressed, and she said, Dad, I said, oh Lord, something's going on. What's up? Dad, I had somebody stop me the other day. And I said, okay, well, that's normal. That's natural. What do you, but they said something to me that shook me up a little bit, and I just need you, I need to talk to you. I said, well, talk on, girl, talk on. What's going on? She said, the person asked me, they had the nerve to ask me. Brittany, if the bodybuilding doesn't work out for you, what is your plan B? And she was upset about it because she said, I'm throwing myself into this. This is my passion. I could see myself going far in this, Dad. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. I started encouraging her, don't pay any attention to the haters. I said, you don't have to focus on a plan B. Focus on the thing that you have in your heart right now. You have skill sets. You have things that you can do. You've been given favor in all kinds of things that you've been trained in. I said, listen, if you don't become a professional bodybuilder, you're going to go out and get a job.
Amen.
But you don't have to focus on a plan B. Focus on what you have in your heart. Focus on the thing that's become your passion. Focus on the thing that you believe you were born to do. Focus on the thing that you believe God has put in you now. Everybody say now.
Yeah.
You don't have to focus on a plan B. Because plan B, focusing on it, you can have other skill sets in your life, but focusing on a plan B means I might fail at what I really believe I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
And you can't succeed by meditating on failure.
Amen.
That was my whole discourse to her. Don't focus on that. Focus on what you have in your heart now. Focus on what you're doing now. We already know that if it doesn't work out, you're going to have to get a job to pay your bills.
Amen.
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 Amen. Don't focus on that. What if I fail? Don't worry about that.
Amen.
For with God, nothing you see shall be impossible.
Amen.
I thought, man, so the thought hit me, go to college. Man, you didn't do so good in high school. Why would you want to go to college? I said, because I'm going. Nobody, you heard that guidance counselor. Nobody in your family is ever going to college, Billy Joe. You can't go. I said, why not? Because your mother didn't go. Your father didn't go. Your sister, Robin, who's like a math genius, went, but she dropped out. And you're probably going to be just like that. I said, oh, are you kidding me? She was trying to convince me. Billy Joe, get a plan B. They put me in on OJT, on-the-job training, because they wanted me to have a trained career bagging groceries at the grocery store, and maybe I could work my way up to manager. Ain't nothing in the world wrong with bagging groceries at the grocery stores. You feel me on that? Nothing in the world wrong with that. Absolutely not. But the way they were talking, that was all that I was going to be able to do. That was the track that I was on. And I went to the meeting and said, I am on a new track. And bagging groceries is okay, but I'm going to school. I'm going to be an athlete. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to graduate. And then I'm going to come back here and speak for y'all if that's what I feel like doing. And it all happened just like that. I didn't have a plan B. I'm going to college. And I'll do what I have to do to graduate. Amen? And all and many of you have that same story and that same testimony, but it is so very, 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 very true. Can I get one more amen?
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 18. Remember, in the course of this, God has given both his promise and his oath, two things that we can completely count on. For it's impossible for God to tell a lie. Now, all of those who flee to him to save them can take courage when they hear such assurances from God. Now they can know without a doubt that he will give them the salvation that he has promised. You have, when it comes to your future, you have God's promise and you have God's character, his oath and his character. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. If it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, even though it might be difficult, even though it took a little bit to get out of my Spanish class. I got out. I made it. I graduated. I went on. Now, write this down. Faith is responding to God's ability. How can I become this, Pastor Billy Joe? By responding to God's ability. You don't have to be the smartest person. I know people that are making millions in real estate and they were never in sales. They never sold a thing in their entire life, but they went into real estate and they're making, in some markets, they might be doing $50 million in sales. And then you take about 3% of that, and that's how much they take home off of $50 million. Everybody say $50
million.
Everybody say $40
million.
Somebody say 50. Somebody say $30
million.
Somebody say $10 million. Somebody say $1
million.
That's okay. It's okay for you to say that. You shouldn't be intimidated by $1
million.
$1 million. I mean, we were with Dr. Bill Winston a number of months ago last year, and he was coming to the dinner, but it took him 30 minutes to get there because when he walked out, he said, I'm so sorry that I'm late. I was just working on a $30 million deal.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, when he said that, we went and sat down at dinner and everybody pulled out their iPhones because while we're all eating, he's teaching and we're eating with one hand and taking notes with the other. And I apologize to Dr. Bill, please forgive us for taking notes during the dinner. I know it's a little rude, but what you're saying is worthy of us writing it down. And he said, oh, no, go right ahead. And he just poured into us. We had the service that he poured into us, but we went to the back room and he kept on pouring. Amen?
Amen.
Your thinking is very important. Faith is responding to the ability of God. We want to respond to that. We want to respond to it, what God has said. And on. I won't go through that. Let's close with this for today. We got about 5 minutes. We'll take a little Q&A, but let's close with this. I want you to increase your possibility thinking. When you look at things, say, oh, it's possible. You're looking at your checkbook and you go, oh, Lord, it's possible. And it says negative $10. Right? So I want you to increase your possibility thinking. Here's how possibility or thinking that all things are possible. Here's how it impacts your life. Let's close with this. Number one, possibility thinking, it will increase your possibilities. Just because you think that way, your thinking is so important. Remember, there's 75 trillion cells in your body. They respond to how you think and primarily what you say and the attitudes of your heart. And they do everything in their power to move you in that direction. Amen.
Amen.
Number one, possibility thinking increases your possibilities. So you got to think that way. Number two, possibility thinking draws opportunities and people to you. If you thought, man, a good man is hard to find. Yep. Mm-hmm. And all the good ones, they are drawn away from you. And all the bad ones, come on. Amen. I was at the store last night picking up a couple of items, and a young man said to me, who's your team? I said, Denver. And he says, is it Chris Harris? Chris Harris, the kid from Bixby? Yeah, Chris Harris. He's from Bixby. He's from that little old town right down there, right around that corner, right down there. He took my daughter, and this is what the man said last night at Walmart. He said, he took my daughter to the park, and my daughter ended up marrying that old thug and let Chris Harris get away. And I laughed. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. Possibility thinking, it attracts people to you. Opportunities and people come to you because that's the way you think. All right. Number three, it increases other possibilities. Possibility thinking increases other possibilities. The thing that you thought was impossible, you stepped out. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, do the thing that you fear, and the death of fear is certain. Just do it. Look at somebody and say, just do it.
Just do it.
Do the thing that you fear, and the death of fear is certain. It's certain. Number three, possibility thinking increases other possibilities. Number four, possibility thinking, number four, allows you to dream big. It allows you to dream big. It allows you to dream big. Number four, dream big. Number five, possibility thinking makes it possible to rise above average. To rise above average. Rise above it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't. Don't let them put a label on you. He's this, she's that. Well, you know, mother, we ran some tests on him and we found out this and this and this and this. And you know, you can happily thank them for, you know, for what they're saying. But don't you put a label on anybody. Don't you put a label on it. Don't you put a label on yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it's double negative, and I'm black and I'm female. No, no, no. You are a double positive.
Amen.
So don't ever sink into that. I'm Cuban. I'm Mexican. I'm short. No, no. Don't ever put a label on yourself like that, okay? Don't ever do it. Number six, possibility thinking gives you energy. Has anybody ever, have you ever been just got into like a negative flow and you were like, man, it's just, I don't know. And the world was dark and nothing seemed right. And I mean, you were dragging your feet and nothing, there was no energy. Possibility thinking gives you energy. When you think about the possibilities, it will energize you. We're not always going to be in this house. We're not always going to be in this apartment. We're not always going to drive these kind of cars.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it gives you energy. Here's the last one, and we'll close. Possibility thinking does several things. Number seven, oh my God. Number seven, it keeps you from giving up.
Amen.
Why? Because you always see the possibilities. All right. Any questions before we get ready to break? Any questions about what we covered last week or as we move forward, as we cover things that we're leading into? Any thoughts? Anybody have a thought? Anybody have a question about your thinking, your mentality, turning that your thoughts into a positive energy based upon God's word, not staying where you were, not giving in to the negativity of the world and the culture? There's a lot of negativity flying around right now. I think it's amazing that there's a lot of people that are refusing to go to the presidential inauguration. I don't understand these kinds of things. And it just breeds within our culture negativity. Whoever the president is, we've got to support our president in prayer and pray.
Amen.
We got to pray. We have to pray. If we really, truly believe things are that bad, then we have to pray that much more.
Amen.
Okay, we really do. And as a believer, your standard is you're on a whole nother level. We have to be thinking possibilities. Now, let me close with this. Now, you don't see this on the mainstream, a lot of the mainstream news. And even though there are multimillionaires that did not support the new president elect, and I won't call names on it, but I could name you several multi-gazillionaires, billionaires, that have made millions as a result of the stock markets responding to our president elect and the people who did not vote for him this past month have made multi-millions. As a result of the stock market responding. Okay? So our obligation, I'm not picking sides, I'm not doing any of that, but I'm reminding us that our mandate is a godly mandate, which is on a whole nother level than just the average people in the world. Would you agree with that? I mean, do you see that as a believer, as your mandate to be a person of prayer?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way about it. The Bible all over the place supports the fact that you and I must be that way. And if all those multimillionaires are having a positive response to our president-elect, you and I should be having a positive response to our president-elect as well. And getting over into a negative funk, that's not going to increase my possibilities.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to be careful of that, because the devil will try to scoot you and back you into a corner. And then now all of a sudden you can't see your way out. You can't see any possibility of coming up economically based upon some man in the office. No, our possibilities are based upon the what? The man that is on the throne. His name is Jesus Christ. All right. We'll stop right there. Listen, we'll see you next Sunday. We'll get into next week becoming a God's millionaire. The first thing we'll talk about is by serving. By serving. And it'll be a great lesson for you. Listen, have a great day. Let's go out and serve the people today. God bless you.